There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Before we get started with today's episode of Benched with Bubba, I know it's a baseball podcast, but let's talk about NFL DFS and let's talk about the Quant Edge. Are you tired of getting crushed by the pros, DFS players, and sports bettors? Listen up. TheQuantEdge.com has the tools you need to play like a pro. With our lineup optimizer, injury tool, wide receiver, cornerback matchups, and head-to-head tools, you'll be armed with everything you need to win. Make up to 150 lineups in seconds. See matchups to exploit and compare players to help you make the right decisions that you're on the fence with about, and go to thequantedge.com to do so. You'll get exclusive access to our industry experts, articles, podcasts, and the Quant Edge community by participating in the premium membership chat. We at Benched with Bubba have a special deal for you, our loyal listeners. Using promo code BENCHED, BENCHED, you get 10% off the season-long subscription, but you have to act fast as this deal ends August 31st. That's Friday night, August 31st. Use promo code BENCHED, BENCHED, get 10% off a season-long subscription, and go to thequantedge.com and sign up today. Now to Benched with Bubba, episode 117 with Eric Cross of FanTrack Sports, talking all things fantasy baseball, waiver wire, September call-ups, and even a little Arizona Fall League. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 117. Going to talk some fantasy baseball with a previous guest of ours, really knowledgeable guy. Just got a little promotion at a place he's working at. We'll let him talk to you about that. You can find him on Twitter at EricCross4, Eric Cross of FanTrack Sports. How we doing, man?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Anytime I can sit and talk baseball with someone like you, I am always in a good mood. Always.
I always love talking. Always love talking baseball.
Yeah, always works well. Before we get into it real quick, let everybody know about a little change that happened in your day-to-day life.
Yeah, so I've been with FanTrack since spring training time last season. It's been working hard the last couple of years, and they awarded me with I've become the lead baseball writer and prospect analyst for FanTrack now. So a little more involved in all the happenings around the baseball content on the site and helping out with editing and all that type of stuff. So it's really fun time on got a lot of good stuff upcoming for the FanTrack site. So really excited to kind of help grow the FanTrack brand even more.
Well, congratulations, man. You've earned it. For people that have followed Eric, I got to know him kind of before the season started. He was on one of the preseason shows with us, and this guy's tweeting stuff all the time. He's writing stuff all the time. You have at least one or two articles a day, it seems like. Like, you have stuff all the time. You work your rear end off. You earned it, so congratulations.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Let's talk about some players. You know, this time of year, a lot of guys get called up. You get kind of guys getting new chances due to injuries or whatever, and people still fighting in their stretch runs. They might need some help in different areas, and there's 30 or 40 guys you could probably talk about. We're going to hit on a few tonight, and some of them are prospects, and why not talk to Mr. Prospects himself for Fantrax? Luis Urias, this is a guy that just blew the cover off the ball in the fall league last year. People loved him, tearing it up in the minors. What's your outlook on your on Urias, at least for the rest of this season, and if you want to give a slight dynasty impact?
Yeah, you know, you're right. He is he's one of the best pure hitters in the minor leagues, in my opinion. He has super quick wrists, gets a lot of bat speed, makes a ton of contact. He's putting the ball in play all the time. He's a guy, he's got a hit for average. You know, he's already got, you know, three hits in his first eight at bats. This is a guy he's going to hit for average, you know, right this year and, you know, down the road. 300+. I can even see him winning a batting title or two. You know, that hit tool is that good with this guy. Outside of that, not a lot to like. Power, you know, you can't go off just his stat line in the minor leagues. You look at all his power and speed, you don't get too excited. But, you know, his swing, while it's geared more for line drives right now, he's stronger than he lets on. And with some added loft, I can see him growing into, you know, around 15 home runs a year, maybe capping out at 20. Speed. He's not really quick and doesn't read pitchers well. He's only got like a 48% success rate stealing bases in the minors. But so if you're looking for a kind of category juice, probably not going to give it to you this year or much down the road. But for a comparison, you know, I liken him to like a DJ LeMahieu. I can never say that name right. And or like, you know, a Dustin Pedroia minus the speed that an early career Dustin, not Pedroia now, in this broken down mid-30s years, but like an early, you know, Pedroia of 6-7 years ago when he's just cranking out, you know, 310 320 averages with a little bit of pop there. So but yeah, certainly, you know, he's a guy that can help you out because, you know, with the average, at least just, you know, he's at a position that, you know, usually can need a little boost in the middle infield. So good pickup for us this season and in dynasty.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, you can tell the Padres want to use him because it's Thursday night when we're recording and they were already batting up second tonight. So yep. They're not going to mess around. He is in the lineup. He's up for a reason, which I appreciate. Absolutely. I appreciate because you see it all the time. You know, we're waiting on prospects to get the call and then they play once every like 5 days. You're like, what are you doing? Like, hello, Colorado Rockies.
Yeah, I was literally just thinking, and I think you and I back in the preseason, I think we talked to Ryan McMahon.
Most good amount.
So yeah, that was a very frustrating. And then St. Louis with their crowded outfield and yep. Tyler O'Neill. Yeah, I definitely appreciate when you can get a prospect some regular at-bats.
Yeah, it's very, very nice. Let's talk about another prospect. We've been waiting for him. The guy is electric. And he shut down the Tigers his last time out, which, you know, to some might say, who doesn't shut down the Tigers? But, hey, it happens. Michael Kopech is what we think he's going to be. He's been there so far. It's going to be chaotic. He's young, but the stuff is there. What's kind of your outlook, again, similar to Urias, for the rest of the season, a little bit of dynasty here?
Yeah, I love Michael Kopech. You know, seeing him, you know, as early, you know, back when he was with in the Sox system for the trade. And don't get me wrong, as a Sox fan, I would make that trade to get Chris Sale 10 times out of 10. But Kopech is an arm that I hated to see go. Like I said, he's electric. He hits triple digits with ease as a wipeout breaking ball. The changeup's not quite there. It comes and goes, but he's flashed, you know, at least the ability to have an average changeup. And the control, it's all about the control with this guy. As many people that have followed Kopech know, you know, he had last 12 games before the AAA All-Star break, you know, which was 55 and a third innings pitched. He had 47 walks, which is a 7.7 walks per nine. Not good. But, worked on some mechanical things during the All-Star break. He had, you know, extra 5-6 days off. And his seven starts after the All-Star break before he got called up to the White Sox. He only had 4 walks and none in his last 3 starts. So I think these are the 2 extremes you'll see with him. I think he's, you know, a little bit right in the middle there, probably a 3 to 4 walks per nine guy. But this guy, he's going to give you elite strikeouts regardless. You know, he's that type of guy with that fastball and slider combination. You know, he's a good strikeouts just with those 2 pitches right there. So, so the development of his changeup and keeping his control in check will be the keys here to whether he becomes, you know, the ace that we all think he's going to be. And I think he can be, or more of like just a, you know, middle rotation guy that gives you a lot of strikeouts.
Yeah, and you kind of answered my question there because, we all saw the control issues early in the season, and we were wondering, well, if you can't fine-tune that, they can't bring them up. Like, that's going to be a problem. So, Obviously, it's good that that figured out. And my thing always was is he has those two dominant pitches, like you mentioned, and, he's working on a changeup. You throw that into that arsenal, my goodness. Like, wow.
Exactly.
And you're already saying he can be the ace of a staff, so that answers my question because I was always thinking, you know, if things don't go right with that kind of stuff, that is just like lights-out closer stuff. Like, is that ever on the radar, do you think? Or is it strictly he is going to be our number one? That is the end game.
Yeah, that's definitely always on the radar, especially, you know, with one of his, another guy in the White Sox system, Alec Hansen, whose control has been even more of an issue than Kopech's was. You definitely, like we all know, you can't really succeed in the majors with two pitches. You can get by, but if you want to reach potential, you know, that a guy like Kopech has, you need at least that third pitch. And right now, he throws a changeup. It's flash potential. It's not quite there. But even if he can just get an average changeup, just an average one, that's not asking too much. Just enough to keep, you know, hitters honest and off the fastball and the slider there. That'll make those pitches even better than they already are right now, which is both of them are, you know, sliders 70 grade and fastball's 80 grade on the 2080 scouting scale. So, all he needs is to develop that changeup a little bit more, be somewhat consistent with it, and she should develop into the top of the rotation arm.
All right. Let's talk about another youngster in the New York Mets system, Jeff McNeil. We talked about him a couple of podcasts ago when he got the call, and now, you know, he's getting pretty regular at-bats, and he's doing stuff. Like, he's looking good getting those roles. You know, hashtag call it Peter Alonso, but that's never going to happen. But Jeff McNeil looks like he's here to stay. Is this a guy that's worth, you know, a roster spot for the rest of the season? Is he a dynasty piece? What's his outlook?
Absolutely. I do a weekly waiver wire piece over on Fantrax, and I forget how long ago it was, but a few weeks back, within the last month, I wrote about him. And then a couple weeks after that, reminded everybody to pick him up because his ownership rate is still pretty low. This guy can just flat out hit. You know, he has a .311 career minor league batting average. But this year's, you know, he didn't really get noticed because before this year, he only had 9 career home runs in, you know, parts of 5 seasons. So, power wasn't quite there, but he started getting a little more loft in the swing. He hit 19 in 88 games between AA and AAA. And now he's already got a couple in the majors. Still not a big power guy, but just the added power is definitely nice. Not a big speedster, but probably can get you, you know, 10 to 20 over the course of a season. But like you mentioned with Peter Alonso, you know, he's being overshadowed because of Peter Alonso. And yeah, you can throw Tim Tebow hype in there if you want to, but you know, no one was really, you know, looking at Jeff McNeil. But you know, I saw him early in the season when he was still in Double A Binghamton when they came up here to Portland, Maine, and I liked what I saw. He's got a clean swing. I like it. Hits the ball hard. He can use all fields. He's not going to be one of those guys that, you know, everyone looks at. You know, he's not going to provide a ton of category juice. He's not going to be that super sexy fantasy pick, but he's just a solid hitter. He's eligible at, you know, second base and third base in most leagues. He's been playing a little bit of everywhere for the Mets, but yeah, definitely a guy that can definitely give you some value here the rest of the season. Just the fact he's playing every day and he's hitting the ball, he's putting the ball in play, and he has 11 strikeouts in 35 games. So he's putting the ball in play, and good things are happening for him right now. Dynasty wise, like I said, he's not one that you really got to look at. The builder is one of the building blocks of a dynasty team, but just one of those solid guys you fill out after you know, get your big guns in place there. But definitely a solid name to keep on your radar.
Now, this might be a silly question because they're both young, but if you're building a dynasty team right now, and I think I know where you're going to go, but just going to ask anyways, do you like Luis Urias or Jeff McNeil?
Ooh, I'm going to lean Urias here. Like I said, not a lot of category juice out of either of them, but I do think the power is fairly similar, and Urias has the better hit tool. So I think I'm going to go there, but they're not too far off, to be honest with you, even though you see Urias exactly. You know, higher up on a lot of prospect lists you see out there, and McNeil hasn't really cracked any lists yet. But yeah, closer to than people may think, but yeah, still going with Urias there.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask. It just, to me, I agree with where you're at. Just it's closer, and if people are drafting dynasties, you know, if you don't get Urias, you got a nice backup right there.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about one of McNeil's teammates, 22-year-old, and people forget he's only 22 because it seems like we've been dealing with the Med Rosario for a long time. It even took me by surprise the other day when I thought, oh, my gosh, he's just 22. And look at people. He's starting to play consistent baseball because he's getting consistent playing time at a young age. What's your thoughts on the Med Rosario? Is this the Med we're supposed to get, or is there even more, or is this a fluke?
Definitely not a fluke. I think this is pretty close to what we're – what we should get with him going forward on a consistent basis. He's always been a good hitter. You know, he's a guy that I project kind of in like the high 200s, 280 plus type of hitter. He makes a lot of contact. He can use all fields. He's got some good speed. He's probably like a 25 to 30 steal guy. His swing's not geared for power. Never has been. It's more of a line drive, gap to gap hitter. But he's got some good, a decent raw power, enough that he can probably, you know, give you 10 to 15 home runs with the contact skills he has. And he's, you know, he's been batting leadoff since ever since Brendan Nimmo went down on the DL, and Nimmo was back and he's still batting leadoff. So that's a good sign right there. Should be a guy that gives you a fair amount of runs going forward. You know, even on the Mets, you know, you're going to, you know, be leadoff full time. You got to get some runs no matter what team you're on. So I like him batting leadoff. I think he has the profile for it. I don't think we're gonna see him hit over 300 a lot like he is right now, or over the last month or so. He's hitting, I think, like 320 or something like that. But definitely a decent guy. But I think, you know, like, you know, Urias, he was ranked so high, like he was a top 10 prospect on almost every, you know, the major sites, MLB, Baseball America, so on and so forth. So I think, you know, everyone sees that, and they're expecting, you know, guys like, you know, Carlos Correa, Francisco Lindor, Corey Seager, yep. You know, they're in that type of production right away. And we've been spoiled with those types of guys over the last, you know, 2-3 years. But, you know, not everybody dominates right away like these guys did. So, it is. I was shocked too. Rosario was still only 22. It feels like he's been around, you know, either with the Mets or as a prospect forever. Yeah. So, still 22, still room for improvement. And definitely a guy that, maybe he's not your starter on your dynasty squad, but definitely a guy that's, you know, right near that, you know, top 10 to 12 shortstops long term, and a guy you can slot in your middle infield or utility and, you know, get solid production year in, year out.
I like it. Now let's talk about some senior citizens out there. We'll start with one that only homered like for a week straight, and it was out of nowhere he's back, and then he's had a couple down games, but that was expected. Kendrys Morales is crushing baseballs. He's utility only in most leagues he plays. So that's kind of a deterrent for many. At the same time, who couldn't use like 8 home runs in 7 days? So, right. it's kind of that sticky position to be in, because you wouldn't be shocked if he hits a .150 the rest of the year. But at the same time, this is a guy that could hit .250, hit you 9-10 more homers. What's your thoughts on Kendrys Morales? Are you running to the waiver wire to get him, or is it kind of dependent? What do you see with him?
Yeah, I did run the waiver wire, and I got him in a few of my leagues here. He seems to do this every year. Well, he'll be stagnant for a while, then he just goes on this tear, whether it's a week like this or, you know, hit like, you know, 10 or 11 over a month. And but, you know, he's actually, you know, this overall counting stats aren't quite there, because he hasn't played as much as he did the last few years. But he's made minor improvements. Both the walk rate and the strikeout rate have gotten a little better. He's 35, but, you know, he's still got some juice left in the tank here. And, you know, Toronto's a good hitter's park. It's treated them all last year. He had 28 home runs last year, and 21 so far this year in 110 games. So, I definitely, you know, if he's limited to utility, yeah, that's not really the greatest for fantasy purposes. Kind of limits your flexibility with your roster. But, you know, definitely a guy that's this hot, he shouldn't be sitting on any waiver wires. You know, even if it's just to ride out the hot streak, you know, sometimes that adds value. You know, he's good on your team for a couple of weeks. He starts stinking them up again come September. Boom, you can drop him. So, definitely a guy I'm looking to add, at least to ride out this hot streak.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy because, yeah, his RBIs are way down. His runs are down a bit. But you look at his homers, he had 30 and 28 in the last 2 years. He's got 21, you know, another good couple of weeks, and he could at least have 25 or so. Batting average is about where it's been the last 2 years. So, all in all, it's a thing I like to say a lot of the time is certain players – a lot of good players will find the back of their baseball card by season's end. It's just how it works out. Just how they get there can be weird, and this was a weird one, but very, very good ad if you need stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Let's talk another old guy, Melky Cabrera for the Indians. They got him in the middle of the season to a minor league deal. He's up, and he's producing. He's doing what Melky does. He's hitting .281. He's got six homers. He's driven in 28. He's got 22 runs scored in 52 games, like quietly put together a really decent 52 games. What are you looking at a guy like Melky Cabrera?
Yeah, like I said with Morales, I feel like Melky goes on one of these tears every year too, where it's like he's been sitting on the waiver wire the whole season. All of a sudden, he's the hottest ad, and you know thousands of people are running to the waiver wire to get this guy. Now he's got to play every day going the rest of the season. You know that unfortunate infection to Leonis Martin opened up spots for him and Greg Allen in this outfield. So yeah, he's gonna play. You know, he's been playing almost every day. I'm looking at here. He started, the last seven games and 12 out of the last 13. So he's playing every day, batting fifth or sixth for Cleveland. And you know, he's a solid hitter. You know, he doesn't get a lot of love because he never has that super sexy stat line end of the season. But he's one of those guys, kind of like Morales, where you add him for a stretch here, ride out the hot streak, and then you can dump him later on. But right now, you know, he's on one of those hot streaks, and he can definitely carry this over. Like he's got five home runs over the last month, 16 RBIs, 13 runs scored, hitting .280, .316 over the last 2 weeks here. So definitely a guy, you know, in a solid lineup hitting, you know, in a semi-decent batting spot, fifth or sixth. You can really rack up the RBIs, especially in that Cleveland lineup. So he's definitely a guy. I've added him in a couple leagues as well. He's still vastly under-owned. You think he's still owned in over about two-thirds of Fantrax leagues, so. Definitely a guy I'm looking at here for the rest of the season.
You mentioned his teammate, Greg Allen. He's getting a lot of playing time, as you mentioned. Hitting .244, so he's not lighting the world on fire. Limited power, but he has 13 stolen bases, and that most of that has come in his everyday role now. Is Greg Allen a guy that I feel like if you need stolen bases, he should be on your roster?
Oh, exactly. You hit it on the head. You know, he's never been, you know, a guy that's had a great offensive profile, even in the minor leagues. He's never hit for much power. You know, I think he only had 18 home runs in the minors, but he averaged over 50 steals per every 500 at bats. You know, the speed is what you want with him, and he's a smart base runner too. You know, I think I had the number right here. He has 78% success rate in the minor leagues. Mm-hmm. So he's super quick. He gets on. He reads pitchers well. And he does help. He's better in OBP leagues. He has a great batting eye. He almost has as many walks in his minor league career as strikeouts. So, .380 career minor league OBP. So, he can definitely get on to utilize that speed, which is great. But you know, I think he's been hitting ninth basically the whole time. So, not a guy that's got to get you much of anything else. But everyone needs speed. I need speed. You need speed. My grandmother needs speed. You know, everyone needs speed on their fantasy team. So, If you're looking to make up a little bit of ground in Roto or something in the speed category, he's definitely a guy to look at.
Yeah, let's talk Todd Frazier. You know, he's actually hitting for a better average than he's done in recent years. And his last month or so, he's really crushing it. In the last 28 days, six homers hitting .277. That .277 stands out for a guy like Todd Frazier. And he'll steal you a base here and there. So he's playing consistently. He's healthy in a Mets lineup that somehow is being pesky of late. I don't understand how. But what's your thoughts on the Todd father? Because I think a lot of people might still have held on to him, but he's actually available in quite a few leagues too.
He is. You know, I've never been a big Todd Frazier guy. I kind of started getting rid of the guys that can't hit for average. Like, he hasn't hit over .225 since 2015. Like I said, the power's there. You know, he's right on pace with his previous seasons. You know, with power-wise, he got 16 on the season, 88. Games, so he's around pace for about 30. He had 27 last year, but also at .213. You know, if you're in an OBP league, I'd be looking at him because he can still draw a walk pretty at a decent rate. But his power is so abundant now that a guy, what's he getting this year, .231. You know, doesn't really have as much value, you know, as he might have back in 2013, 2014, when, you know, only a few guys every year were hitting 40. Now everyone's hitting 40. So he's not really one, you know, I guess I'd write out the hot streak, but I don't anticipate that going much longer with his contact woes. But, yeah, he's just a guy. I'd be looking at him in deeper leagues. Not really a guy I'm looking at right now in standard leagues.
Let's say you need to fill your utility position up. Do you go Kendrys Morales or Todd Frazier?
Oh, Kendrys Morales, definitely. I have more faith in Morales' production over the last month continuing than Frazier's, just because, you know, Morales can actually hit for a respectable average and doesn't strike out a ton. So,
gotcha. Let's talk about a guy that I don't know where the faith scale is. His name is Luke Voit. And we've seen him off and on in the last couple of years with the Cardinals. And now he's with the Yankees. And all of a sudden, he bats cleanup against lefties, and he just hits bombs when they need him hit. It's ridiculous. In a small sample, he's got a 342 average with three homers. What are we thinking with Luke Voit? Because right now, Greg Bird just can't get it done.
Yeah, I was actually shocked. You know, I felt like Bird was just going to hold on to that first base spot forever, hitting as horrible as he was. So it's nice to see a guy like Voit get a shot here, especially with the Yankees. You know, they're not really, you know, used to, you know, you don't see the Yankees giving these types of guys a shot. Usually it's either, you know, they go with the established veterans, or they're going with the, you know, the hot shot youngsters like, you know, Gleyber Torres and whatnot. So it's nice for a guy to see a guy like Luke Voit get a shot here. I mean, he's a big, strong guy. He's, you know, he's a Kyle Schwarber size. He's like 6'4", 230. He's a strong guy. Really, really plus raw power. Look at his minor league numbers. The big home run numbers don't show up, but, you know, he's in Yankee Stadium for half his games. That always helps. That power definitely play there. So, yeah, as long as he's hitting, I was a little skeptical. I saw, you know, he had like three home runs in two games. Oh, that's great. You know, nice little story here. But, you know, it's the Yankees. They're going to go back to somebody else, throw Neil Walker back over there, Greg Bird, whatever. You definitely, definitely a guy I'm looking at. You know, he's playing every day, so that's that. I was skeptical. Like I said, I was skeptical about that continuing, but, you know, like I said, he's batting cleanup. He's playing every day, so definitely a guy. I'd be looking at him over a guy like Todd Frazier, and potentially even over a guy like Kendrys Morales. You know, he's a really, really solid underrated hitter.
I like that. That's a very, very interesting over Kendrys Morales. So that's the kind of info we're looking for here. Let's talk about another guy that's, you know, had pretty good minor numbers, you know, hitting 20-plus homers a year, hitting 250-plus most times. Now he's got an everyday role with the Royals, Ryan O'Hearn, with Lucas Duda out of town. He's not hitting for average, but he's showing some pop, and he's playing, like I said, every day, similar to the Luke Voit scale, but maybe not the average-wise. What do you have on Ryan O'Hearn? Because literally before, about 2 weeks ago, I had no clue who this guy was.
Yeah, not many people did. You know, he was never a big prospect.
I follow prospects. I had no clue who this guy was.
Yeah. You never saw him high on any list. You know, I've never had him, you know, anywhere as high on my list in years past. You know, even though I was just doing lists for fun before I started writing for Fantrax and whatnot, I never really had him too high up. But, you know, it's because, you know, his hit tool is, it's so-so. You know, he's a guy that's, you know, right, probably like a 250 type of guy. Like I said, that's much better than Todd Frazier and Joey Gallo, but, you know, he's not a guy that he's a guy that's going to be prone to some inconsistencies. Not a guy you should look at if you want consistent production over a long period of time, but so he's got some power. You know, Kansas City doesn't have many better options right now. I think they're on pace for 110 losses or so over there in Kansas City. So he might as well give this guy a shot here. See what you got. He's still young too. He's type of guy that feels like he's been around forever. You know, he came into the league in 2014, but he's got solid power. Most of it's to, you know, pull side, but he's probably a guy that, like, if you give him 500, 600 at bats, he could probably pop you 30 home runs. And, you know, if you give him somewhat decent, you know, spot in the batting order, it could surprise you and get you 80, 90 RBIs, even in Kansas City. So no speed at all to speak of. So don't really expect anything there, but, you know, if you're looking for a little bit of a power surge here, I'd take him over Frazier, not up to Voit or Morales, but he's a guy who has Frazier-like power, but, you know, a better potential average than Frazier.
All right. Last guy I want to bring up here, he's a former New York Yankee, came over to the Toronto Blue Jays, Billy McKinney, and 13 games, hitting 351 with three homers, 10 RBIs, four doubles. He's just
getting it done out of nowhere to many, because, you know, the Yankees would have him up here and there in Double A and Triple A, never got to the bigs till this year. With he had a small, like, two games with the Yankees this year. So he's getting it done with the Jays right now. What are you looking at with Billy McKinney? Because if you look at this guy, if you just put him in a lineup, like not a baseball lineup, just in a lineup, you probably wouldn't guess baseball player.
No, you wouldn't. You know, I've never been overly high on McKinney. I always thought the hype overweighed what he actually could do on a baseball field. But, you know, he's a solid hitter, you know. He falls in that category of probably a better real-life player than fantasy. Doesn't give you a whole lot of category juice. Does have some decent pop. I put him in, like, the 20 home run range for pop there. But outside of that, doesn't have much speed. Hit tool, you know, decent hit tool. I'll probably put it above 50 grade or 55 grade. Probably give you a solid average. You know, he's tearing the cover off the ball right now. He has that potential over a short burst of time, but I expect that to stabilize a little bit here. But he's always had a fairly decent plate approach. Never strikes out a lot. Could draw a walk here, and not a super high walk rate. But he's a guy that's just a really, you know, really safe player. Kind of, you know, like Nick Markakis back in the day, in his early Baltimore days, kind of guy like that, with a little bit of pop, you know, decent average, fairly safe prospect. So I guess he's not really a prospect anymore, but he's been around forever. he's been around since 2013. Geez, but yeah, he's a guy. You know, like I said, he's got a good park to hit in right now. Like you said, with Toronto there, I'm just worried that, you know, with all the players are trying to slot in there, that, you know, he goes on a little bit of a cold streak, you know, goes on the 1-for-18 skid, that he's out of a job again. So I think he's have to hit, you know, fairly well to, you know, keep a role here every day going forward, but he definitely has that potential.
No, I like it. Everybody, go to your waiver wires, get some of these guys, check them out. If you have any other questions, hit myself, Eric, up, many others, especially at FanTrax, check out Eric's weekly waiver wire piece. But before we wrap things up, I got a couple more questions for you. September 1st is 2 days away, and we all know September call-up time, and we've been drooling over some guys that we're probably not going to see. But there are going to be some guys that do get the call that might impact fantasy teams. What are some names you're looking for to get the call here in the coming days?
Yeah, first off, where did August go? How's it already almost September?
Where did the whole season go?
Exactly. Like, it's crazy. I love this time of year because it's exciting with, you know, playoff races and whatnot. But damn, like, just April? Weren't we just talking like a few weeks back? I swear. So
we were still waiting for Ronald Acuna to get called up.
Exactly. I'm wondering when McMahon's gonna get playing time in Colorado. Yeah, but in terms of September call ups here. First and foremost, you got two guys that are just tearing the cover off the ball. One will definitely be up. That's Eloy Jimenez in Chicago, you know, assistant GM of Chicago. I forget his name right now, but hinted, you know, a month ago that both Kopech and Jimenez would get time this year in September. You know, Kopech's already up, and, you know, Jimenez, you know, if it's not September 1st, it'll be shortly thereafter. You know, he's going to be up. This guy is absolutely raking this season. He's in a little bit of a power outage lately. I don't think he's hit a home run in the last 2.5 weeks, but at the same time, he's hitting like 430 over that time frame. And if you've seen this guy, he hits bombs. This guy is strong. You know, I've likened him to a young Giancarlo Stanton, or if he wants a young – young call Mike Stanton, you know, back in the day, but
real quick, you can continue. But I call him Michael Stanton from time to time, and there are literally people who have no clue what I'm talking about. Like, none.
I do too. I like his. My buddy is a huge Stanton guy, so yeah, we always joke about that. But yeah, no, this guy, he's at 21 home runs in 104 games this year, which is a career high for him. But he's never really played. He's had some injury problems in the past, but nothing that's, you know, anything of note. But this guy is one of the rare guys that can hit for a 300-plus average and have the capability of hitting 40 home runs over, you know, full season. You don't see that too often. And he's got a 312 career minor league average this year between Double A Birmingham and Triple A Charlotte. He's hitting 341, and he's gotten better. He's hit 365 so far in 51 games for Triple A Charlotte. So power, average, no speed, but who cares if you're hitting hitting like this guy can. So he's tearing a cover ball off the ball lately. You know, he should be up within the next few days. You know, the White Sox outfield isn't not starting anybody of note right now, for the most part, outside of Avisel Garcia. So he's a guy that's got to get some time here. And then another big name here, you know, he already got a cup of coffee here. And it'll kind of injuries might determine this. And it might not be a full-time spot for him. But this is a guy that, you know, if full-time spot opens up again in Houston, you know, Kyle Tucker, you know, nobody has been hotter than Kyle Tucker. He's like a 1,400 OPS over, you know, we were talking about how Kenny Morales was on a home run binge. Tucker has bettered that. You know, he had 10 home runs in 8 games or something like that. So, and he's tearing cover off the ball, hitting for power, stealing. He's had like 6 steals over his last 10 games. So it's like, if you played fantasy AAA, this guy would be the number one player. He's a fantasy monster in the making. First go around didn't go so well. That happens, but
yeah, you know, to Mike Trout. It's okay.
Exactly. You know, Mike Trout hit like 218 or something his first 50 games before he started becoming the best player on the planet. But yeah, definitely a guy to keep an eye on there. And then if you want to go, he's not really a prospect anymore, but you know, I keep an eye on going to that to him. But Austin Meadows, yes. Definitely. You know, so there's not really a spot, but in Tampa Bay right now. But then again, you got guys like Carlos Gomez hitting 215 out in right field. So Austin Meadows is another guy to keep an eye on. Can hit for a little bit of power, a little bit of speed, decent average. A couple more guys with quick hitters here. I wish Alonso's coming up, but probably that's not going to happen. But Austin Riley could get a call in Atlanta. Little strikeout prone there. I think he's about 32-33% strikeout rate this season. But guy's got good power, can still hit for, even though he strikes out a bunch, he's one of those guys that can still hit for, you know, a 270-280 average. So he might get a call there. I would be surprised if he didn't get a call, actually. Looking for a couple of pitchers. The guy that stands out the most here is Justice Sheffield. The Yankees have said that, you know, he's got to get some time.
I think he's pitching on Friday out of the bullpen, they said.
Yeah, so he's going to be a bullpen arm. But a guy that can give you some strikeouts out of the bullpen and some decent ratios. Very underrated guy. They get a lot of good arms in that Yankee system, but he's a guy. He's got, you know, number two starter upside, not quite ace upside, but it's a really solid solid pitcher. Outside of that, not really many other big arms that I think are going to get. Maybe you might get De Los Santos and Philly coming back up, but Luzardo was a guy I was really hoping and I thought was going to get a call, but there's rumors he might be shut down for the rest of the season, so keep an eye on that one. It's still not fully decided yet. But yeah, a lot of, you know, maybe, you know, Victor Robles could get a call even if he's just a pinch runner. His speed, he has elite speed, so he could help you just in speed steals alone. But yeah, a lot of good guys still get the call. Unfortunately, you know, we're not going to get Alonso like we'd hope. We're not going to get Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Like I'm sure everybody would have, you know, would be riots when he comes up, but you know, still a lot of good guys coming up, so definitely a lot of guys to keep an eye on.
And the Yankees, yes, you mentioned a lot of good ones there, and there's going to be some sneaky ones that come up here and there. But breaking news, as we are recording, I just got an update from the MLB app. As a Giants fan, this is interesting, but I'm good with it. The Yankees just got a September call-up. Andrew McCutchen is now a New York Yankee.
Whoa.
Yeah, for two prospects, those have yet to be named. But McCutchen to the Yanks, let's just talk for a second. That tells me what I thought on my previous baseball edition of Bench with Bubba, that the fact that Aaron Judge can't swing a bat still, I think he's a long ways away. To me, this signals Judge might not be playing much of September. This is kind of sad for the playoff run, but also if he can get healthy for October, at least DH, you got that. All that blabbering there. What's your thoughts on McCutchen in New York? Because, you know, people love him, he hate him. He's not the guy he once was, but he's not horrible still.
No, he's not. He's still a fairly solid hitter. I'm pulling him up right now. He's hit. You know, he's on pace for he could have an outside shot of that 2020 season, you know, with probably about 80 runs and 70 RBIs. You know, like I say, he's not the MVP caliber player like he was 5-6 years ago in Pittsburgh. But I like this. You know, that's what I gave for putting my phone across the room charging for an hour here. You know, this I like this move. Well, for in fantasy, I don't like it. I'm a Red Sox fan. I think this is a good move for the Yankees. Great, but then again, that does signal that Judge probably isn't close to showing the bat, so I guess that's a silver lining for me.
Yeah. Obviously, you'd rather have Judge than McCutcheon.
Exactly. But, for fill-ins, pretty damn good fill-in. You know, good former MVP and guy that was, you know, one of the best players in baseball, one of the best fantasy players, you know, first-round fantasy guy for a few years. This is a good move. And unfortunately, you know, most, you know, fantasy trade deadlines have already passed, so it's, if you don't have this guy, you're not going to get him. But
What's fun about this one is if you're in an AL only league, everybody blew their fab on the recent trades that took place. This could be a fun one to help you in September.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm in several different fab leagues this year where few of them I got some money left, few of them I don't. So only one's an AL only, but this is definitely could be interesting. You know, depending who has money left in your league that you could get McCutcheon for a pretty good price. Yeah, exactly. So if you can, do it.
Okay, let's try this one. And maybe he's not available, but maybe you're in a league where they have to be in the bigs before you can add them. Do you go all in on McCutcheon or Eloy Jimenez?
Ooh, that's a good question. Because
Eloy could be a game changer, but at the same time might not play every day.
Exactly. You know, and there's no, like I said, I believe he's going to get called up. That's all what the indications have been, but there's no guarantee, you know. So I'd
probably. Because Kutch is there tomorrow, probably playing in the outfield, hitting sixth or seventh in that lineup.
Exactly.
You know he's going to be there every day, pretty much.
Exactly. You know, as much as I want to say Eloy Jimenez, because I'm very high in him and the prospect hound in me,
I'm with you.
I'd go safe money. I'd go McCutcheon. Like you say, he's going to be there tomorrow. He's going to play every day going forward. Can't guarantee that with Eloy, even though Eloy could come up and, you know, hit 330 and smash 10, 15 bombs the last, you know, 30 games. Maybe not that much, but, you know, give you a real outperform McCutcheon. But I'd go safe and go with McCutcheon here.
Yeah, it's going to be wild, though. So big, it's always fun when there's breaking news and the phone, you know, vibrates next to me.
Right.
Sitting here. And
exactly.
That's a good one. But the last question I have for you, because you are a prospect analyst. I'm just a prospect fan. I love watching them. One day, maybe I'll go in more. I prefer to go to minor league games than professional games. I love that kind of stuff. And I know you do, too, because that's why you cover it. The Arizona Fall League is like Christmas Eve, because now you know what the presents, like the list of presents are. Now you just hope Santa brings them to you. They got released today, and last year was probably one of the best years we've ever seen. This year may have topped it, and that just could be due to us, A, knowing more about prospects, or B, that's just how deep baseball is now, which is amazing. Just kind of when you saw the rosters come out, because you might not have dug into them completely yet, and you'll do that at a later time, just what was your first thoughts when you saw these rosters? Because to me, real quick, last year it seemed like it was like two or three teams were top heavy. This year it seems spread out with just amazing talent.
Oh, yeah, dude. This is probably the best overall core of prospects that I've seen in a while here. Like, you look at, you know, get an infield with a couple Red Sox guys, Chavez and Dahlbeck, and then you got Jamai Jones, Josh Ockamy. This is for the Mesa Solar Sox. And then you go over, trying to find, there was one team that had, I can't remember which one right now, but they had Forrest Whitley.
Yeah, that's on the Scottsdale, I think.
The Scottsdale, yeah. Forrest Whitley, Sixto Sanchez, and J.B. Bukauskas.
That's outstanding.
That is a nasty, nasty threesome right there. And then you got, you know, Brendan Rodgers, Jazz Chisholm, and Carter Kieboom in the same infield for Salt River. There was one outfield here that had Basabe, Luis Robert, and I think Florial from the Yankees. That's a damn good starting outfield. I know Taylor Trammell and Shed Long are going from the Reds. It's Vladdy's going, Bichette's going.
And Biggio. There's something all three of them.
Yeah, Biggio. Oh, God. This is I've been trying. You know, I'm trying to make this work to work a trip out there, even if it's just for like a long weekend, go Friday to Monday. But this is definitely the best, overall group of prospects I've seen go. Usually you get some, you know, pretty good prospects going out there, but from top to bottom, this is must see if you're a prospect guy.
Yeah, that's why I tweeted out. MLB Network needs to cover more than just the futures game. They need games out there. Like, literally, they can make it like the backfields. I don't need anybody announcing. Like, just plug in the PA announcer and tells me who's coming at the bat. That's all. I just want to watch them play. All I
exactly. Just watch the game. Absolutely.
Like, I don't need play by play. I'll be fine.
exactly. Yeah. I hear you.
I look forward to it all. Abatil Avino or whatever is one of the prospects coming over to the Giants. Have never heard that name, but he's one of the infield prospects. I guess probably not a high prospect, but higher up on the Yankees list. And there's one more coming over to the Giants. So be on the lookout for more of that info to come. But Eric, always a pleasure. Super knowledgeable, super fun to talk to you about baseball. Why don't you plug what you got going on and let everybody know where they can find you?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's always fun talking baseball, especially this time of the year with September call-ups going on. Working on a lot of things. I got my daily prospect updates going on that I started doing probably back in May. I've been a big guy. I was just doing them on Twitter, working, old school with the spreadsheet and tweeting out some pictures. But I moved that over to little mini articles, basically the same stuff I was already doing, just, little nicer looking. So I got that every day over on Fantrax. I'm doing multiple, prospect/dynasty pieces every week. I got my Dynasty Dugout piece I do every Tuesday. I just went over a few overrated prospects. Might do that again next week. A couple more guys I want to get into. But I got my minor league report that I was doing over on Fantasy Pros, but now since I'm Fantrax only, I kind of moved that over to Fantrax. That'll be out tomorrow. A lot of good information there. I'm finishing up as we speak. And I've got a lot of prospects, jam-packed article. This, Dylan Cease, Chris Paddock, a little bit of Alonzo talk, Vidal Brujan, Nolan Gorman. So a lot of good, keep an eye out for that. Then I'm just jump right into, I'll be updating my first year player draft rankings that I put out back in, mid-June. A lot of movement so far with players that are just drafted. So I'm doing the updated rankings for people that might have – haven't had their first-year player draft – first-year player draft. That doesn't sound right, but but if you haven't had that yet for your Dynasty League, I'm going to be updating those pretty soon here, probably within the next 3 weeks. Then I'll be going right into my off-season. We'll be doing a lot of player profiles – team system reviews and previews for what to expect next year. I'm going to try to get up to the Arizona Fall League and see if I can make that work. But if I do, expect a ton of stuff from that. Just keep plugging along. It might be the off season, might be coming up, end of the season here, but never a dull day in the prospect world. So a lot of fun stuff going on.
It never ends. That's what I love about it. Yeah. Especially in prospects, you got Fall League, you got like Dominican League, you got something going on all times for you guys, college baseball, whatever. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a great way to do it. And, tell Tim, since you're full-time now, it's a business expense. You can go to Arizona.
I've been trying. I was talking with Tim earlier, and I was like, hey, Tim, when we get in the Fantrax jet, send me out there. He said next week, so I'll see if that's actually coming to fruition here.
There you go. That's awesome. Well, I hope it works out for you. It looks like a blast. A lot of good guys out there and everything. And I was trying to make it out there this year. I don't think it's going to happen, but maybe plans will change, but it'd be absolutely awesome. But absolutely. Again, thanks for joining me, man. Everybody, this was Bench with Bubba, episode 117, talking fantasy baseball, some prospects, waiver wire, the works, with Eric Cross of Fantrax Sports. We'll catch you guys next time.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.